We are holding on Pei Zion Amud Aleph, the last line. That's the Shem. We'll finish the Masechta today. Continuing on the subject of asking Mechila. So far we established that, we talked about certain basic dinim of it. You need to ask three times, and you have a machlokas among the Mephoshim, whether it means that that's the maximum. You're not supposed to ask more than three, unless in a circumstance like we're going to have in the following Gemara now, or does it mean you're not required to ask more than three, but you can ask more times if you want? We'll see soon. That depends on a different Gersois in the Gemara. We talked about that you need three people with you to ask each time. You need to ask a different way, etc. So the Gemara tells you, Rav have a posik sidra kamei de Rebbe. Rav was one time teaching a section of Nach in front of Rebbe. Sidra, Rashi says, means a parasha of Nevi'im or Ksuvim. So he's reading it and then teaching it and explaining it in front of Rebbe. Oyel, also Reb Chiya, in the middle Reb Chiya came in. So out of respect for Reb Chiya, Hodel Reisha, Rav went back to the beginning and started over again. Soon, Ayo Bakapara next came in afterwards, Hodolereisha, and again Rav started over out of respect for him. Also, Reb Shimon Berebi Hodolereisha, and Reb Shimon Berebi came, same thing. But then, good morning, Ali. Hod, top of Pei Zayin Amud Beis. Then, also Reb Chanina Berab Chama, then Reb Chanina Berab Chama came, Omar, and Rav said to himself, or said maybe in public, Kula Hai Ned of a Nazel, should I be going that many times back? This is already the fourth time. Loy Hodder, so he didn't go back. He continued from where he was up to. Ikped Reb Chanina, so now Reb Chanina was upset about that he felt, now, granted, I mean, how many times can Rav be expected to go back? But in other words, why only for him did he not go back, and for everybody else he did? Actually, it might even be that Reb Chanina, the fact that Reb Chanina is offended might not even be so justified. And nevertheless, we're going to say that Rav wanted to be machmir on himself to go ask him the chila anyway. Because just the fact that he felt hurt, even if there's not such a valid reason for it, it might be reason enough for Rav to go ask him the chila. So, although Rav...
What about being late? Isn't that also a lack of kavod for Rav?
That's what we're going to explain soon, why he didn't want to be moichel him. We're going to get to that. So also Rav Gabay Tlesa Mala Yom Kippuri, Rav started going every year, every Yom Kippur, he would go to ask Mechila. He ended up doing that 13 times, Velo Yifayis, and yet Reb Chanina did not want to be Mechila. So now we have to figure out why. First of all, let's figure out why is Rav going to him 13 times? You said before three times. The Hechi Oven Hochi. So how is Rav doing that? Not more than three times. So according to the Mephoshim who understand that you're not supposed to ask more than three times, then the question is how Rav can do more than that. According to the understanding that you don't have to do more than three times, then the question is why is Rav doing 13 times? And the answer is Rav Shiny. The answer is Rav is different. He was machmir on himself. So yes, he doesn't have to, but he wanted to be machmir on himself. Now, a number of the Rishonim, for example, the Rambam and others, explain that this that we're saying three times is only when it's one chaver to another. But if it's a Talmud to his Rebbe, then you have to go as many times as necessary, even 1,000 times, the Rambam says. And what it is they learn that from all Gemara over here. They have the Girsa, not Rav Shiny, but Rav Boy Shiny. It's different with his Rebbe. And according to that, Reb Chanina is Rav's Rebbe, in the sense that Reb Chanina was the Rosh Hashiva, in the sense that Reb Chanina was the Rosh Hashiva, so therefore he's considered Rav's Rebbe. And therefore Rav is in fact obligated up Yalacha to go as many times as necessary. It's a little hard to figure that out according to the Seder's Manim, actually, because we said before that Rav was doing this in front of Rebbe. The Gemara tells us that actually what happened was when Rebbe passed away, he said that Reb Chanina should be appointed the new Rosh Hashiva, but in the event Reb Chanina didn't want to because Reb Ofis was older than him, so Reb Ofis took the position instead, and only after Reb Ofis passed away, only then did Reb Chanina take over, and that was long after Rav had moved back to Babel. So according to that, then, so according to that, what's going on that we're considering Rav Chanina, Rav's Rebbe? So one answer might be, in fact, some of the poskim say that for this purpose, and this is brought in the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch, that for this purpose, a person's Rebbe is not only somebody, not only his actual Rebbe that he learned most of his Torah from, his Rabbi Muhak, but even somebody who he learned something of Torah from. So in that case, the likelihood is at some point Rav learned something in Torah from Rav Chanina. After all, the fact that Rebbe is going to appoint him the next Rosh Hashiva shows that he was a very high caliber level Talmud Chacham, and therefore that might be. Okay. So now,
what did Rav do?
So we said that ironically, what you're asking to do is what Rav Chanina didn't do for Rav Chanina. He was teaching something and didn't start over when Rav Chanina came in, even though he had started over previously when other people had come in the middle.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So yeah. So the question is, okay. So that answer is what Rav did. What about Rav Chanina? Rav Chanina hechi ovid hachi. How could Rav Chanina do such a thing? Not be meichel Rav right away, let alone after 13 times. But Amar Rava kol amavir amidos of mavir loy akol pshav. Didn't Rava say that a person who overlooks his midos, in other words, that he has a right to be upset, but he is moichel on it and doesn't consider it important. Ma'avir on loyakol pshav. So Hashem, so to speak, overlooks his averus, and not overlooks, but in other words, is willing to give. No, the Mesiyam is going to be. We're going to finish today, that's Hashem.
Tonight.
Let's talk about it afterwards. Okay. Yeah. So kol ma'avir on midos and ma'avir on loyakol pshav. So in that case, just for that reason alone, Rav Chanina should be Merchel. I mean, you have a mission in Baba Kama even that says that a person shouldn't be Achzori Milimchel, but okay, the Gemara knew already that Rav Chanina must have a good reason for it, but still, the good reason might be because, as the Gemara is going to say, something that potentially might harm him, Rav Chanina, but still, from the point of view of Kol Amavir Amidosev, it should be going Lefini Mishra Fadin and forgiving Rav. So no, El Rav Chanina Chel Machazi Leila Rav. What happened was Rav Chanina previously had a dream about Rav, that they hanged Rav on a palm tree. Now, a palm tree being a very tall tree, and also Tzadik Katamar Yifrach, it's a sign that he's going to be lifted up, he's going to become a Rosh Hashiva. So now, Ugmiri, and we know the Kabbalah, the Kol Dikas, Zizakfur B'Dikla Reisha Havi, that a person who's in a dream is hanged on a palm tree, it shows that he's going to become a leader, he's going to become a Rosh Hashiva. Amar, so Rav Chanina says to himself, Shmamina Boila Meved Rosh Hussa, that shows that Rav is going to be exercising leadership. The Loi Ifayis, so now, the problem was, as we said, Rav Chanina was the Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael. If Rav stays in Eretz Yisrael, what's going to happen? How is this dream going to come true? Necessarily, it's going to require that Rav Chanina is going to have to pass away. He didn't want that, obviously. Therefore, he says, this way Rav will leave Eretz Yisrael eventually, and he'll leave to Babel, and there he can be a Rosh Hashiva without it causing any problems for me. So now, there are two ways of understanding this. According to the way we have it in front of us in Rashi, it comes out that Rav Chanina, the reason why he's not showing, obviously in his heart, he forgave Rav, that's such a minor thing especially, but that he pretended not to, was not for Rav's benefit, but rather for his own, that he himself shouldn't be harmed. On the other hand, the Ramah understands that where the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, that you're allowed to hold back Mechila if it's for the good of the other person. So that would mean, in other words, now how does it come to the good of Rav in this case? So the Noisa Kalim on Shulchan Aruch explained that according to the Ramah, you would have to say that the vote is that if Rav remains in Eretz Yisrael and becomes a Rosh Hashiva there, he's going to end up being involved a lot with Tzorchei Tzibur. Being a Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael required not just teaching Torah, but also getting involved in various other aspects of leadership, and therefore that would interfere with his time, that would take away from his time for learning and teaching Torah. So therefore it's for Rav's good that he should leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Babel. So now, actually, in Shulchan Aruch it mentions both. You are allowed to hold back Mechila where it's for the good of the other person, but also where it's for your own good, like Rashi is saying, because after all, Chayecha Koidmin. So for that reason alone, Rav Chanina would have a valid reason to pretend to not be Moichel Rav. Okay. Fine. Now let's talk about the dinim. We know that on Yom Kippur you have to say vidui, so let's talk about the dinim of that. Tana Rabbanan. Mitzvah vidri erev yom kippurim im chashecha. The proper way, of the proper time to do vidri is on erev yom kippur before dark, meaning after yom kippur already began. Aval amru chachamim yisvad dekodim sheyoychol v'yishter. However, the chachamim said he should say vidri before he eats and drinks. Shemit torah daite besuda, because he might get confused during the suda. He might get drunk, and then when it comes to the beginning of Yom Kippur, he's not in a mental state of mind to be able to say a proper vidri. And then, even though he said vidri before he ate and drank, so this is why we say vidri in mincha of Erev Yom Kippur, because that's before Sodom Afsekas. That way, in other words, in case he gets drunk during the Sodom Afsekas, he can't say it afterwards. So even though he said vidri afterwards, beforehand, he should also again say vidri after the Soda, Shema Eretz Valkakola Besoda, because something may have gone wrong during the Soda. Namely, Rashi explains that Bar Kokola means he may have done some Avera during the Soda. So therefore, like, now he did a new Avera for which he needs a new vidri. Now, there is a whole different explanation that many Rishonim have. Many Rishonim have a different Girsa over here, where without the first part of Shema Titorif Daitai, and according to Rif, Rambam, others, and they explain that Dvar Kokola does not mean, like Rashi says, an Avera. It means, rather, that something might go wrong, as in, for example, Rambam puts it, he might choke during the Suda, or something like that. So therefore, so they learn, in other words, according to them, the Gemara is not telling us two separate things, vidri before the meal and vidri after the meal. Rather, it's saying one thing, vidri before the meal, and the reason is because of what happens if he chokes, for example, during the meal, and then he might even die without having done tshuva before Yom Kippur. So therefore, you should do vidri before that.
So what
do we do as far as vidri? So we say it in Mincha of Erev Yom Kippur, which is before Sodom Afsekas. Now you have like this. Rashi had mentioned the point over here, actually Gemara had mentioned the point, that the mitzvah of vidri is erev yom kippurim im chashecha. Most of the Rishonim understand that what that means is in Ma'ariv. That really, technically, the first time to do vidri should be in Ma'ariv on Yom Kippur night. But because of these potential problems involving the Sodom Afsekas, the Chachamim said that we should say it in the afternoon as well. The Ramban understands that Erev Yom Kippurim Im Chashecha means right before Yom Kippur begins, and he understands, in other words, the same way as, for example, a person brings a korban, and they say vidri when they're doing smicha on it, and take it for smicha shchita, right after smicha and vidri, you shech the animal, the same way the vidri of Yom Kippur should be right before Yom Kippur begins. So therefore, according to him, me'ikra din, you have to have one right before Yom Kippur begins, meaning after the Sodom Afsekas, before Kol Nidre. And then in addition, we're saying you have another one before the meal in case he chokes or something else goes wrong during the meal, or in case he gets drunk during the meal or whatever. So it comes out, according to the Ramban, that you should really have on Erev Yom Kippur, or before Yom Kippur really begins, two vidurim, one during Mincha and one before Kol Nidre. So that's actually what it is. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch, and it is the minhag that we don't have. It's not printed in the Siddur, but before Kol Nidre, a person should say Oshamnu and Al-Chet again. It actually comes out then, according to that as the Gemara is going to go on to say, that you say vidri in all the tefillos of Yom Kippur. So it comes out, therefore, that you're saying Hashamnu 12 times then during Yom Kippur, because you have two before Yom Kippur, and then two each during the five tefillos of Yom Kippur.
Wait, of them, you only do one, no?
No, because you also do afterwards in Tzlichas. Afterwards, you don't have Chazaras HaShachtin in Ma'ariv, but afterwards when the Chazan is doing, when you Yalav Tachmin Neinu and Shemei Atzvila and the rest of those, in the middle of that, you have Hashamnu and Al-Chet. So as far as Al-Chet, you're saying it 10 times, Hashamnu comes out, you're saying 12 times.
I never heard of that before.
So there is. It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be that before Kol Nidre, you say Hashamnu and Al-Chet again.
But it's not in the Siddur.
It's not in the Siddur, no. I don't know, maybe it doesn't necessarily have to be Hashamnu and Al-Chet per se. In the Velt, for example, they have, there's a thing called Tfila Zaka, a Tfila that Chaya Adam composed, that's a long, extensive vidri for various things. It's not all minute to say it, but nevertheless, the person could be Yotza with some other kind of vidri as well.
I go to shul and they don't tell me to do that, so I don't do
okay,
it.
Okay, so now you know. So let's go on. I mean, again, this is only required according to the Ramban, but after all, I mean, the Ramban is the shita that we should take, and it's not required according to everybody else. It's not required by halacha. It's required in order to be yotze the day of the Ramban. Okay. Onward. Va'af pishay zvada iris. Now, even though a person said vidui in ma'ariv, yisvada shachris, still he should say vidui again during the moon, during shachris. And each time, the idea is, what if he did averis in between? So each time, he needs kapara for the averis that he might have done between one tefillah and the next. The idea is, we learned before, Yitzumay Shayim HaKippur Mechaper, that Yom Kippur itself is Mechaper. The Gemara discusses, I think in Masechta Shavuos, that it's primarily the end of the day that's Mechaper. So therefore, you want to have, that as you go during the day, you want to have different vidui. Next, Shachris Yisvadim Musaf, even though you said vidui in Shachris, you say it again in Musaf. The Musaf Yisvadim Mincha, the Mincha Yisvadim Neva. The Heichan Oimrei. Now, where in davening do you say this vidui? So, Yochid Achat Filosoi, an individual, when he's davening Shemin Esrei, says it at the end of Shemin Esrei. So that's what we do. We finish Hamavarach Hasami Yisrael Bashalim, Yiyu Lerotzen Yimifi, and then we start the vidui in the same place where usually we would just say Elakai Nasser. Ushliach Tzibur Oimre Be'emsa. The Shliach Tzibur says it in the middle of Shemin Esrei. As we have that in the middle of the bracha, middle bracha of Shemin Esrei, at the Bechartanu, he continues in the middle over there. He starts off with various other tefillas, various other piyutim and things, and eventually leads into Hashamnu and Alpet. My Omar. So now, what's the actual vidui that he should say?
He says Alpet before Modim.
Here, for example, long before Modim. Here, for example, let's look in the Siddur. So you have over here. Yeah, it is in the older fat Siddur than you have it. So, for example, Tfilat Yom Kippur, which is the one that's used for Shachris and Mincha. Mm-hmm. So you have like this. He goes through. You don't have the Piyutim in the Siddur, but you have the actual Tfilah of Yom Kippur. Okay, so he goes through after the Chachanu, Vachitin Lano, Elakenu, Elakavitinu. When he gets to Ki Keil Melech Hanun V'Racham Ota, then we begin saying various other things. We begin saying Schor Rachamecha and other things, and eventually it leads into Hashamnu and Alchet. And then after he's done all that, after we're done with all of that, and all the piyutim that go with it, then the chazan continues other kainim like Avi Seinu to say Mechor Lav and so forth.
And
Then
after Modim, he doesn't say Alchet.
So he doesn't say Modim out. He doesn't say it after Modim, exactly. Right.
But we do say it.
We say it after in Shtilah Shemin Esrei. We say it after year after the first year of the year. Okay. So the Gemara says, "My Omar, what is the nusach of vidui that should be said?" So Omar Rav Ati Yadir Rosa Olam. Rav said it's a paragraph that we have in the Siddur that begins Ati Yadir Rosa Olam Salom as Sisra Kochoi, which we have early on in our when we say that vidui, we begin with Hashamnu. So we begin on the Kenev of the Kavisenu. And then a couple of paragraphs later we have Ati Yadir Rosa Olam. Shmuel says that the paragraph that begins with Ma'amaki Alev, we don't know what that is because we don't have it in our Nuschos. The Levi Omar of Seros Kokos of Lamer. Levi says that the paragraph that begins in your Torah, it says, Kivayim Ezechapra Alechem, and then you continue with a vidri from there. Rabbi Yechanan Omar Ribon Ha'olamim. Rabbi Yechanan says it's the Ribon Ha'olamim, the one that we say in morning davening, Loyal Tzid Kesenu Anachim Apilim Tachnenu Panacha, which we also have in the Siddur. We have part of that as part of what we say during before vidui over there. So according to him, that's the main vidui. Rabbi Yehuda Omar Ki Avedesenu Rabba Belimnos B'chat Rabbi Yehuda says that the paragraph that begins our veras are too many to count and our chatorim are too many to number. Rav Hamnuna says you say a paragraph which we say at the end of the video. Elakai adshel nitzarti enich gai Hashem. Before I was created, I was not worthy. Achshav shenitzarti. Now that I was created, kilo lo nitzarti. It's as if I wasn't created. The Gemara brings this in Brachas, because the Gemara is going to say soon that Rava used to say this at the end of Shemin Esrei every day. The Gemara brings over there a bunch of different Amiroyim who used to say different paragraphs at the end of Shemin Esrei, where we say Elakai Netzer. So the Gemara mentions we're going to have an Or Gemara over here, that Rava would say that at the end of Shemin Esrei every day. So the Marashah explains, the meaning of the tefillah is, we're saying Ad Shalom Itzarti Ein Chedai, because you have the famous Machlokas, the Shammai B'Shillo, is it better that a person was created or not? And Nimnu V'Gomru, they eventually voted and decided Noyach LeShaloi Nivra, and the reason being because there's more Loisa says than Esses, so like there's more chance for a person to mess up. So absolutely neutrality. And if I die, I didn't deserve to be created in the first place, because what good does it do? I have more chances to do Avedis than I have to do Mitzvahs. But Achshav Shei Neitzarti, now that I was created, and the Gemara says over there, okay, at least once a person is created, he should be doing Mitzvahs, I say, Ke'ilu Lo Neitzarti, it's as if I wasn't, because I'm not doing the job, I'm falling down on the job. He continues, offer ani b'chaye, I'm dust during my life, kavachoyme b'mistasi, how much more so after I pass away. And Marsha explains, in other words, a person has a body made out of dust, offer min ha'adama, and a neshama, and I'm allowing the dust of my body to overpower my neshama. Harei ani l'ponecha kichlima libusho uchlima, so behold, I'm before you like a vessel full of embarrassment and humiliation for what I'm doing wrong. Therefore, Yehid Otzen Melpanecha Shaloi Echta, may it be your will, Hashem, that I shouldn't sin. Now, of course, a person has Bechir HaChavshis, but in other words, we're asking Hashem for an extra help to keep us from doing Avedas. Umasha Chatosi, and whatever I already did sin, Meroik Barachamecha, clean up. Meroik means to clean up. Or in our Siddur, the Alter Rebbe has the Girsa Mechoik, erase. Barachamecha, with your Rachamim, Ava Loya Yide Yisurin, but not through Yisurin. In the Siddur, actually, we say, Loya Yide Yisurin, Bechaloyim Royim, in the sense, Yisurin, sometimes there has to be. We learned the other day that there are certain Averis that can be cleaned up only with Yisurin. But there's different degrees of Yisurin. You can have there's a Gemara in Erchin that mentions a person reaches his hand into his pocket to get a certain amount of change and pulls out a different amount, then that's considered Yisurin. So therefore, we're asking Hashem, Yisurin, fine, but at least they should be Yisurin, Bechaloyim Royim. Harsh Yisurim, harsh sicknesses, and whatever. Let them be easier, kind of Yisurim.
I'd like to find more money in my pocket than I can.
Yeah, okay. So the Gemara says, "V'hainu b'duri." This is talking about when you needed to take out a certain number of coins, yeah. And you took out a different number. Yeah. So v'hainu b'duri the rov kula shata. That paragraph of the Kayach Shalom Nitzarji. No. I mean, they pulled out the wrong amount of money.
That's even lighter.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So v'hainu v'duya the rova kula shata. That paragraph of the Kayach Shalom Nitzarji was rova's vidui at the end of the Shemina Esrei the entire year. Was it Rav Hamnuna Zutta b'yamid Kippuri and Rav Hamnuna Zutta, Rav Hamnuna the small, used to say it on Yom Kippur, which is what we do at the end of vidui in the various tefillos of Yom Kippur. So now we combine together a number of these opinions. We say after Yedei Roza Olam, we say Lekayam Shalom Nitzarti, and we say in the Chazan's repetition, we say part of the paragraph Riven Kol Olam, and we mention over there Ma'anu Mechayenu Mechatenu, etc. Okay. Amar Marzutra Loyam Moran Ela Deloy Amar Aval Anachnu Chatanu. So Marzutra says all of this is only talking about if he didn't say the words Aval anachnu chatanu, but we have sinned. Or really, actually, the nusach that we have is Aval anachnu v'aviseinu chatanu. We and our ancestors have sinned, because after all, when a person continues doing the same averus that their ancestors did, then Hashem holds that against them as well. Oichsin ma'asi aviseinu bidayim. So therefore, we want to mention that point. So once he said that, Aval anachnu chatanu, tulei tzarech, you don't really need anything beyond that. That is the essential vidui, is those words. And the Gemara gives an example. D'omer bar hamdudi. Barham Dudi, that was his name, says, "Have a ke'imna kamed Shmuel. I was standing as a Talmud in front of Shmuel on Yom Kippur. V'have a Yosef, and Shmuel was sitting doing Chazaras Hashatz. V'chimata shlicha b'tibora ba'omer aval anachnu chatanu. When the Chazan got to the words aval anachnu chatanu, kamekam. Then Shmuel got up." Omar, so Barham Dudi says, "Shmaminu ikur vidui haihu." We see from what Shmuel did that those words are the essential vidui. So we learn from that two things. We learn, first of all, we learn actually a number of things. Besides the fact that that's the main vidui, we also learn from that that when the Chazan is repeating Shemina Esrei, then you say vidui together with him, which is what we do. We don't do it in Mincha of Erev Yom Kippur, because the Chazan, in fact, does not say it at all in Mincha, well, he says in Shtila Shemina Esrei, but he doesn't say in Chazaras Hashatz. For one thing, because he says in the middle of Tefillah, that would be on Yom Kippur, where there's a middle bracha. On Erev Yom Kippur, you're still davening a weekday Shemina Esrei, there's really no place to put it in. And in any case, since we said that the only reason for it is in case Shemet Yitodav Daitai, or Shemet Yered Val Kokola, or whatever. So we're not there. And the whole reason for Chazaras Hashatz is really to be moitzi people who are not baki, who don't know the words of davening. Nowadays, it's not common that you have such people, so therefore the Chachamim didn't find it necessary to have the Chazan repeat it in Chazaras Hashatz of Mincha. But in the other tefillas, or in Ma'ariv, there's no chazaras hashatz, but afterwards you have the slichas, and he says it, so then you have to say it with the chazan. We also learn from this that vidui has to be said standing, including both the one in your own Shemoneh Esrei, where of course you're still standing anyway, and also the one that's said in chazaras hashatz, or in slichas, or whatever, that all of those have to be said standing, we see from our Gemara.
Also every day
vidui is said standing, that's true, but here we're talking primarily on Yom Kippur. Okay, now we mentioned before Ne'ilah. So let's get into some details about Ne'ilah. Tnan Hossam, we learn in a Mishnah in Masech B'Tainis, B'shloisha Prakim Bashana Koyinim Noisin Eskapeyim Abor Pomim Bayoim. There are three days, or not three, three types of days during the year on which the Koyinim Duchen four times in the day, B'shachlis B'mustaf B'mincho V'Ne'ilah Sharim, V'Elohen Shloisha Prakim. The 3 days are as follows, B'tan Nios, Tanius, primarily what we mean is Tanius, for example, for rain or for other disasters or things like that. We don't mean so much Tainus Tzibur, like Shivasa B'Tamuz and Asara B'Tavis, and the rest of those. In fact, the Koyanim do not duchen my mincha on those, even in places where they do duchen. The reason is like this. In general, on weekdays, the Koyanim don't duchen by mincha because we're concerned that during lunch they may have drank wine and that would make them possible to duchen. Just like it makes them possible to do the avodah. So therefore, even on a fast day, we don't want them to be duchening my mincha, because then if we see them duchening my mincha, they may mistakenly do it fast days other times as well. However, the Chazan says of the Kainu of the Kavisenu, this is why on mincha, fast days, the Chazan says of the Kainu of the Kavisenu, in Chazaras Hashatz, where we don't do that the other days of the year. But here we're talking, so we're saying, though, that on fast days for rain and things like that, the Kainim do duchen my mincha. So that's first of all, the Ma'amodos. The second one is the Ma'amodos, where the Mishnah and the Gemara tell us at some length over there in Tainus that you had, there were representatives of the Jewish people. There were 24 groups of representatives that would rotate every week. Some of them would be in the Beis HaMikdash to watch the Korbanos being brought, and they're representing the whole Jewish people in that. Others of them who are further away from Yerushalayim would go in their local shuls, and they had a special seder of tefillos and fasts and other things that they would do throughout the week on behalf of the Jewish people. So on their days of Ma'amodos, then the Koyanim would duchen multiple times on that day. Rashi brings over here from the Gemara over there. What do you mean Musaf? And where do you have Musaf on days of Ma'amodos? If it's Rosh Chodesh or whatever, then sure. But the Gemara explains over there what it means is not every one of these three types of days do we have all these tefillos. You don't have Musaf on a fast day either. It means that that whichever tefillos you have on such days, the Koyanim duchen. On days when there's Musaf, then it includes Musaf. On days when there's Ne'ilah, then it includes Ne'ilah. And so forth. The Rambam actually learns that on Ma'amodos they did have, even though there's not technically a Tfilas Musaf, because there's no Korban Musaf brought on days of Ma'amodos, nevertheless they had an extra Tfilah between Shachris and Musaf, between Shachris and Mincha, and that is what the Mishnah over here is calling Musafim. Even though it's not the same as the Musafim that we say on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and so forth, where we actually mention the Korban Musaf, here it was just an extra Tfilah. Okay, anyway. So that's the second one. And the third one is of Yom Kippurim. Okay, so my Ne'ilas Sha'arim. So we're saying that they duchen in Ne'ilas Sha'arim. So what is Ne'ilas Sha'arim? Rashi brings from the Yerushalmi, actually, that there's two different opinions. Does it mean the locking of the gates of Shemayim, because at the end of the day, or does it mean the locking of the gates of the Azara? At the end of the day, if they averted, they would lock the gate. So what is Ne'ilas Sha'arim? What is the tefillah of Ne'ilah? So again, from this Mishnah, it comes out that they said Ne'ilah not only on Yom Kippur, but also on Taniyos Tzibur that they had for rain and whatnot, and also on the Ma'amodos. Nowadays, of course, the only time that we have Ne'ilah is on Yom Kippur. Where there's, for example, for fasting. Not necessarily when there was a Beis HaMikdash, but when the Sanhedrin has the ability to be Gozer or Taniyos Tzibur.
Okay, because then Ne'ilah makes sense right. Both ways.
Okay, so... my Ne'ilah Sha'arim, Rav Amat Tzloisa Yiserta. So Rav says it means another tefillah, a full Shemoneh Esrei of 7 brachas, just like any other tefillah. Ushmuel Amamo Onu Mechayenu. Shmuel says it's not a whole separate tefillah. You just say the paragraph that includes the words Ma Onu Mechayenu. So we have in Ne'ilah, after we say Hashamnu, we start after Hidalta Enesh Merosh, and after Noisin Yod Laposhim, and after Hidalta Enesh Merosh. So according to Shmuel, saying those paragraphs is what we're calling Ne'ilah. Not a full Shemoneh Esrei. So the Gemara says, Mesvit. I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Yom Kippurim, on the night going into Yom Kippur, Mispal Sheva Misvada, you daven a Shemana Esrei of seven brachas, and you say vidui doing it. The Shachos Mispal Sheva Misvada, the Musaf Mispal Sheva Misvada, the Mincha Mispal Sheva Misvada, each of the Tfilos of Yom Kippur, you're saying seven brachas, and you say vidui. And again, we said before, Yochid says vidui at the end of Shemana Esrei, and Chazan says it during Chazor, in the middle of Chazor Shas. Anyway, B'ne'ilah mispal shevo misvada, and then during Ne'ilah you say seven brachas, and you say vidui, so it comes out like Rab, that Ne'ilah consists of seven brachas. What are you telling me, Shmuel, that it's only the paragraphs after Noisin and after Yigdalta? So the Gemara answers Tanoihi, it's a machloikas Tanoim, although we're not really going to be bring on the face of it, we're not going to be bringing something that shows that there's a machloikas Tanoim. Rabbeinu Hananel has a girsa that, yes, that he brings, he has in his girsa, Braisa, where they actually argue about that, where some of the Tanoim say that you, that it's a full Shemana Esrei and others say that it's not. But the girsa we have in front of us doesn't have that, which leads a number of the, you can see over here, you have notes from Hagoyes Hagra and Hagoyes Marav Ransburg and Hagoyes Mari Lander, which is the Node of Yehuda, that have various possibilities. They take out the word, also Marsha takes out the word Tanoihi, Hagoyes Marav Ransburg instead says the two Tanya, furthermore, there's another Braisa. Anyway, the Tanya, Yom Kippurim Hashaycha Mispalo Sheva Mispada, Yom Kippur before it becomes dark, meaning, or as it becomes dark, meaning Ma'ariv, you daven a Shemana Esrei of seven brachas and say vidui, v'choisim v'vidui divrei Rameir. And Rameir says, not only do you say vidui, but you say chasima, you say, you end off the bracha with vidui. Meaning Rashi brings from Tesefta, usually at the end of the brachas of Shemana Esrei, usually the end of the middle bracha would be Mekadosh Yisroel v'Yom HaKippurim, Mekadosh HaShabbos v'Yisroel v'Yom HaKippurim. Here instead, you finish off Hakel HaSolchan, that Hashem who forgives. Say yes, you daven seven brachas, but if you want to complete with vidui, then you could, but if not, then you can complete the bracha the regular way. Rashi brings that, the kasha maiti, that's what I heard from my rabbeim, but the girsa in Tesefta is rather different, that the, talking about ne'ilah specifically, that the chachamim are saying you don't have to finish with a bracha of vidui, which by the way, in Ne'ilah, so what do we have? When we're saying the paragraphs after Noisin and after Yigdalta, so we're saying it after Shemana Esrei, the Chazan again is saying in the middle of Shemana Esrei. For that reason, if it comes, if Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, the Chazan says, Es Yom HaShabbos Hazeh, Es Yom HaKippurim Hazeh, whereas we do not. Because since when we're saying that we finished the essential part of Shemana Esrei, then there's no need to mention Shabbos anymore. Whereas the Chazan is saying in the middle of a bracha, which is going to finish off Mekadosh HaShabbos V'Yisroel V'Yom HaKippurim, so therefore he has to mention Shabbos. Anyway, the point is, the Brice, in this Brice, all you have is, so the first Brice just said that you daven seven brachas for Ne'ilah. The second Brice, the Meir and the Chachamim, are arguing only about the Chasima, only about how you finish off the bracha. But they both agree that you need seven brachas. So therefore, Tiyuvta de Shmuel. So that's a contradiction on Shmuel, who says that it's only the paragraphs after Yigdalta and after Noisim. And the Gemara says, you're right, Tiyuvta, it is a contradiction, and the Halacha is not like Shmuel, the Halacha is like Rab, that Ne'ilah is a full-fledged tefillah of its own. Okay. Talking about the chasima of the bracha, Ula bar Rav noches kameder Rava. Ula bar Rav went and was serving as chazan in front of Rava. Posach ba'ate b'chartanu. He started the bracha by Ne'ilah with ate b'chartanu. V'siyim ma'anu mechayenu. In the middle of the bracha, he said the paragraph ma'anu mechayenu, like we do. V'shabche. And Rava praised him for that he had done the right thing. Because that's how you do it. You begin, that's how we do it. When the Chazan repeats Ne'ilah, he starts off with Ata B'chartanu. In the middle of the bracha, he says the paragraphs of vidui, and then the Alshamnu, and after Noisin, and after Higdalta. And then he continues with the Kenev, the Kavaseinu, and the rest of the bracha, which is what we do. We also have Slichas in the middle over there, but yeah. Okay. Rav Huna Breder of Nassan, Omer V'Yachid, Omer Achat Filasei. Rav Huna Breder of Nassan says again that in Ne'ilah also the Yachid says that paragraph after Shemana Esrei, after the main Shemana Esrei is over, which is what we do after Yiyu L'Rotzen, we say our Shamnu, and then we continue with the two paragraphs. Okay. Next, Omer Rav Tfilas Ne'ilah Peteres Eschal Arvis. Rav says if a person is davening Ne'ilah, then it patters him from davening Ma'ariv. Now, why should that be? so. Rav Latayme. Rav is going according to his own Svara. Yom Tzvoisi Yisera. He says that Ne'ilah is a separate Shemanaster of its own. So therefore, we're given to Tzalulei, so once he davened a Tefillah, now Rav holds that Ne'ilah can take place after it's dark. We said before, we have the Machloekas, what Ne'ilah Sha'arim is. Is it the gates of Shemayim, or is it the gates of the Azara? If it's the gates of Shemayim, then that would take place only after dark. So you're already davening Ne'ilah after dark. Therefore, Rav says that can stand in for Ma'ariv. The Kivin Tzali, like Tuloy Tzarev. So once you daven a Shemana Esrei after Ma'ariv, then you don't have to daven another one. In fact, actually, the Yerushalmi says on it, the vote is that since in that case, if you're davening after Ma'ariv, why are you, if you're davening after the dark, why are you saying a 7 bracha Shemana Esrei? Why not an 18 or 19 bracha one as usual? And the reason is because the Chachamim had Rachmanos on you, it's after a fast day, this way you can finish faster and be able to go and break your fast. And also, the idea is, since it's the last tefillah of Yom Kippur, so yeah, maybe it's taking place after Chashecha, but nevertheless, it's still part of Yom Kippur, so it's still a 7 bracha Shemana Esrei. Okay, so the question is, Umi Omar Rab Hachi, did Rab really say that? Well, Omar Rab, Halacha Kedivir Ebet Skilas Abbas Rishuas, Rab says that you have the famous Machloikas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, whether Tfilas Aaron and Abaya and Rabba, whether Tfilas Abbas Rishuas or Chaypa, and Rab passed things like the opinion that Tfilas Abbas Rishuas. So in any case, you don't have to daven Ma'ariv anyhow. So what is he saying that you're past doing Ma'ariv, implying, in other words, that you would have had to daven it, and you're only potter because you daven Ne'ila? The answer is Lodibra Imachoiva Kamar. Okay, but what he means is according to the opinion that Ma'ariv is required, but once you've daven Ne'ilah and it's after Chashecha, then you don't need to. Now, Tosfos does discuss at some length over here, when we say Tefillas Avos Rishus, doesn't just mean you can get casual about it and say, you know, I can't be bothered to daven Ma'ariv. It means where there's a particular reason for a mitzvah, for example, of a mitzvah Iveret, let's say a mitzvah that has to be done now, then that's reason enough to override Ma'ariv. Or other reasons, for example, a person already got changed, they shouldn't have to get changed back to daven Ma'ariv if we say that it's Rishus. So then, according to that, the idea would be, again, since the Chachamim wanted to give a person a break and allow him to break his fast, and especially Tosfos brings from the Medrash that on Matzoyim Yom Kippur it's especially important to have a Suda, and you have a Baskel that comes out and says, Lecha Chel B'Simcha Lachmecha. So therefore, according to that, then the Chachamim, that would be a reason of a mitzvah enough that if we say Tfilas Avitz Rishus, that he shouldn't need to daven Ma'ariv. So the Gemara says, Mace, you have a contradiction, though. A Braisa, which we had before the Braisa. Or you have to put a Mitzvah Sheva, or Mitzvah Sheva, or Mitzvah, Shachlis Sheva or Mitzvah. Each Tefillah of Yom Kippur, you have 7 brachas in Vidri, Musaf Sheva or Mitzvah, Ben'ilah Mitzvah Sheva or Mitzvah, and then the Braisa continues, Arvis Mitzvah Sheva, Me'en Shemana Esrei. When it comes to Ma'ariv of Yom Kippur, you still have to daven it, but instead of davening full 19 brachas, instead you say Me'en Shemana Esrei. You say the first 3 brachas, then you say the paragraph Havineinu, which includes a line for those of us who are learning Shlosha Parakim of Rambam. It was in Rambam yesterday, or we were 2 days ago, where he describes that tefillah. So it's a paragraph that includes a line, a few words, representing each of the brachas. Havineinu Hashem Elokecha L'Dasas Derechecha, representing the bracha Atachonen, Umor L'Slovena L'Yirachecha, representing Ashidenu, and so on and so forth. So you daven that, and again, the idea would be that because of a tircha, because you want to be able to prepare food for Matzoy the fast, and break your fast, therefore you can daven a short shmanas, right? Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, Mishum HaVoysev, Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, says in the name of his ancestors, no, Mispala Shmoneh Esri Shleimus, you have to daven, so Tosfos explains, according to the Tanakhama, why would you be able to get away with Havineinu in that case? Because in a certain sense, you're still fasting, so in a certain sense, it's still part of Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, you daven 7 brachas. On the other hand, it's already after dark, so therefore you should have to daven a weekday Shmoneh Esri. So the compromise is, you say, Shmoneh Esri with Havineinu. But Rav Chanina ben Gamliel Mishum HaVosav, Mispalal Shmoneh Esrei Shleimus, you daven a full Shmoneh Esrei of 18, or nowadays 19 brachas, Mipnei Shetzorech Leima Havdolah B'Chonin Adras. Because in Atachonin, you have to say Atachonin Antonu, and there's no room for that in the Nusach of Havineinu. Now, why indeed not? So the Gemara actually in brachas discusses why not, but Tosfos takes up that point over here also. And the Gemara actually asks, why can't you add a word, a few words in Havineinu to represent Atachon Antonu, and the Gemara leaves it as a kasha. So the Rabbeinu Yaakov Meir Leinish in Tosfos, and in Tosfos Shishonim says, so Taka then, the Gemara only left it as kasha, which means that theoretically it should be possible. So why don't we do that? And the answer is because if a person davens Habineinu, because the idea is that if a person is davening Habineinu throughout the year, and on Motzei Shabbos you want him, he needs to be able to add Atachinam Tanu, then fine, he can add a few words to represent that. But here, the whole year, a person is not davening, is not saying Habineinu, it's only on Motzei Yom Kippur. So therefore, we don't want to change it. We don't want to change it from the actual nusach of how it would normally be said. So anyway, the point is that both the Tanakhama and Rav Chanina ben Gamliel are agreeing that you have to daven Ma'ariv, even though you daven Ne'ilah. They're only arguing, do you say Habineinu or do you say the full middle brachas? So what is Rav telling us that you don't have to daven Ma'ariv at all if you daven Ne'ilah? My answer is Tanoi. It's actually Machloikus Tanoim, whether Ne'ilah patters Ma'ariv or not. So we're going to go on with that and explain what that machlokas tanoim is. But actually, since on the face of it, the brisa that we just quoted says that you have to daven full ma'ariv, and we also have there's other gemaras where there's a gemara someplace else where Rabbi Yechanan argues with Rav on that. Therefore, the halacha is in fact that you do have to daven ma'ariv. There's also a point that the Rosh I think makes that Rav himself used to start in the Ne'ilah during the daytime, and he would take a long time over it and finish it after it got dark. We don't do that. We finish in the Ne'ilah before we finish in the Ne'ilah before Tzeitzak HaKavim, so then for sure we can't be Yotze Ma'ariv with that, and therefore we need to daven Ma'ariv after Tzeitzak HaKavim. Okay. So what's the Machlokas Tanoim about the timing of Ne'ilah? So and about whether you're Yotze Ma'ariv with it? So the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Kol Chayav Tfilas, anybody who's Tomei, Tovel and Kedarkan Yom Kippurim, they can Tovel as normal on Yom Kippur, even though we learned earlier in the Perek that Rechitza, you're not allowed on Yom Kippur, but here he's doing it not for the sake of bathing, but for the sake of the mitzvah of Toveling and to become Tahar, so therefore they're allowed to. Now most Chayav Tfilas Tovel by day, and then they need head of Shemesh. On the other hand, Nidor v'yeledes tovelus kedarkin v'leili yom kippurim. A Nidor, or a woman who gave birth, they have to tovel by night. Therefore, they tovel on the night going into Yom Kippur, which would be the usual thing. Now, we don't apply that nowadays because Tumah v'Tahara we're not able to keep nowadays because we don't have Parah Adruma and we're not eating Taharas and whatever. So, as far as a Nidor and a yeledes, we're going to discuss soon in the Gemara the question of whether Tevila is mana mitzvah, but nowadays they don't tovel on time anyhow because the way we keep the halacha to taras and mishpacha, we kind of combine together the chumras of nida and zava, and therefore when a woman is going to the mitzvah, it's never at the time when as a nida she would have been going anyway. As a nida daraisa, she would have been going on the seventh day, on the night after the seventh day from when the bleeding started, and as it is, we wait 5 days and then we have 7 days. So she's never toveling with mana anyway, and therefore, there's no reason for her to tovel on Yom Kippur. You're going to say to me, matter her to her husband. Yom Kippur night, you can't have relations anyhow. So therefore, there's no heter for it. Next, Balkeri. Now, a Balkeri, you have the Takonis Ezra, that he's not allowed to daven or learn Torah. So therefore, tovel v'holach adam mincha. He can tovel any time until mincha. So if he became a Balkeri before mincha, then he's able to tovel in order to daven mincha. But according to this, we're saying that if he becomes a Balkeri after Mincha, then he can't tovel, he'd have to wait until it's dark. And the point would be that opinion holds that Ne'ilah takes place by night. So therefore, what he can do is, as soon as Yom Kippur is over, as soon as Tzeitzak HaKavim comes, he can go tovel. At that point, he's not toveling on Yom Kippur anymore. Then he can daven Ne'ilah. So therefore, according to them, Ne'ilah is taking place at the same time when Ma'ariv usually would. Therefore, that would fit Rav's opinion that Ne'ilah patters Ma'ariv. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos Yeshanim talks about that not necessarily doesn't mean that you're not allowed to tovel. It may just mean there's no reason to tovel because there's not going to be another tefillah on Yom Kippur, but that he could if he wants to. Anyway, Rabbi Yossi says you're allowed to tovel any time during the day. The pashtus, because Rabbi Yossi holds that Ne'ilah has to be done before Yom Kippur is over. So therefore, again, you still have another tefillah to daven. So according to him, there's reason to say that Ne'ilah wouldn't pater you from Ma'ariv. So Gemara says a Raminu. Now, on the other hand, I have a contradiction from another Braisa, which says, Hazov v'hazov v'amitzorah v'amitzeras, Uboil Nida, a man who had relations with a Nida, where the Torah tells us he becomes Tomei almost to the same degree as her and has to wait 7 days. V'tomei mes, Tovin Kedarkan v'yem Kippurim, all such people can Tovel normally on Yom Kippur. Again, this is when we were keeping the Dinim of Tumah v'Tahara, so it doesn't apply nowadays. Tosfos Shanim actually asked a Tommy Mess, what good did it do for a Tommy Mess to Tovel? He's Tommy anyhow. And he gives two answers. One is, now we know that after a person was sprinkled with Pot Adruma water, he needs Tovel. So Tosfos Shanim gives one answer. Let's say they were over and sprinkled in a Manim Kippur. Midrabanim, you're not supposed to, but let's say they did. So now he needs a Tovel to complete his Tara. Another possibility would be, let's say,
Sprinkled him. When the seventh day is?
We're talking about the seventh. So Midrabanan, you're not allowed to sprinkle some of this Pot Adruma water on Shabbos or Yom Tov or Yom Kippur. So if his seventh day comes out Yom Kippur, they would have to wait till the next day. But let's say they were over and sprinkled him on Yom Kippur itself. That was his seventh day. So now they could be talking about where he has to tovel on Yom Kippur itself.
Oh, they sprinkle on the seventh day and then he goes straight to the mikveh.
Right. And then he needs to have a shemeshah. Another possibility, Tosfos Shanim says, is let's say a child was sprinkled on him. A child is only mitzad chinuch that he's not allowed to. So nobody stopped him and he went and did that. So now the guy needs to tovel. And then a third possibility is maybe what we mean is they sprinkled him the seventh day. Was Erev Yom Kippur, and now Yom Kippur night, he wants to, sometime during the day, on Yom Kippur, he wants Tovel to complete his Tara. He didn't have a chance to do Erev Yom Kippur, let's say. So all of them can Tovel normally on Yom Kippur. Again, Nida V'yelet is Tovel's Kedarkin B'leili Yom Kippurim. A Nida and a woman who gave birth can Tovel on the night of Yom Kippur, as they usually do. Balkeri Tovel V'holach Kola Yom Kippur. Again, the second Braisa says Balkeri can Tovel anytime during the day. Rabbi Yossi, Amim and Amincho L'mayla, Eini Yochol Lipo. Rabbi Yossi says, from Mincha and on, he cannot tovel. So now the question is that Rabbi Yossi seems to be contradicting himself, and the Chachamim seem to be contradicting themselves. In the first braisa, the Chachamim said the Balkeri can tovel only until Mincha, and Rabbi Yossi had said he can tovel any time during the day, and in the second braisa, it's the other way around. So they're contradicting themselves. So the answer is, Loikasha, hod et sali, tfilas ne'ila, hod et sali. It depends whether he already daven ne'ila or not. If he already daven ne'ila, then there's no need for him to tovel, and according to Rashi, he shouldn't be allowed to tovel. Because at that point, there's no more tefillah of Yom Kippur that being a Balkeri is going to block him from saying. As opposed to, if he didn't say ne'ila, then there would be reason for him to tovel. So the question is, eat it sali, my time out, did Abanon? Fine, but if he already daven ne'ila, why would the Chachamim say that he's still able to tovel? What is he gaining at that point by toveling? The answer is, Kasavi Rabbanan Tvila Bizmana Mitzvah. The answer is, the Chachamim may hold that toveling in the proper time is a mitzvah. So in other words, it's true that Mitzad Davening, Mitzad Takonas Ezra, he doesn't need to tovel anymore, but Mitzad regular Jinnim of Tumah V'Tahara, there's a mitzvah, according to the Chachamim, there's a mitzvah that a person should tovel at the actual time when the Torah tells us to. For example, a Balkeri should tovel on the day that he became Tomei, rather than pushing it off to another day. So the question is, Miklal did Rabbi Yossi sova lav mitzvah? So you're telling me then that Rabbi Yossi holds that it's not that tevila bizmana is not a mitzvah? V'hatanya, we learn in a brisa, harei shehu yashem kosav al basarei. Suppose that a name of Hashem was written on a person's skin. So now you have two problems. The problem is first of all, the problem of erasing it. Lo yisasim kein l'Hashem elokeichem. You're not allowed to erase names of Hashem. Second of all, there's the problem that if he undresses, he's going to be standing naked in front of the name of Hashem, which is not respectful. So hareza lo yuchatz v'lo yosuf. He's not allowed to wash or anoint that area because he's going to erase the name. V'lo yamid b'mokam atzinoifes. He's not allowed to stand in a dirty place where there's soyo meiraglayim. In other words, like in a bathroom or an outhouse or something like that. Suppose that this person who has the Shem Hashem written on his skin, suppose he has to tovel for a mitzvah. For example, he was a Balkeri, or a Zav, or what have you. Kodach olav gemi. What he should do is wrap gemi, which is a type of reed or grass around it, the yoder to tovel, and then he can go tovel. Rashi explains that the reason why he put gemi around it would be in order to prevent the water from washing away the ink. On the other hand, the Gemara, where the Gemara discusses this in Shabbos and in some other places, and says that actually there's a different reason. We actually had it at the beginning of our Masechta as well. The reason rather is, the Gemara first thinks that that's the reason, but then the Gemara asks, so how does it work? I mean, if you put it on loosely, it's not going to prevent the water from getting, and if you put it on tightly, it's going to be chatzitza. So the answer is, the Gemara says, rather, the reason why you have to put gemi on it is because you're not allowed to stand undressed in front of the name of Hashem. So why Rashi mentions over here only the first point, Mepharshim discussed then why Rashi mentions only the first point. Anyway, Rabbi Yossi Emi Yored V'Tovel Kedavkei. Rabbi Yossi says you can go ahead and Tovel normally, or Vilvad Shalo Yishav Shef, as long as he doesn't actually rub that area of the skin. In other words, Rabbi Yossi is saying if he goes down to Tovel, it's only a grummer, it's only an indirect thing that he's doing that's going to cause the ink to get washed away. Therefore, that's not a problem. Only if he rubs it with his hand, then he's doing a Maisa B'Yadayim to rub it off. And the Kaimalon de Bitzvila Mizmana Mitzvah Pligi. Now we know when we discussed this in Masechta Shabbos that the underlying machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim is about Tzvila Mizmana Mitzvah. So the Chachamim are saying if you don't have Gemi available, tough luck, you can't Tovel yet. You're going to have to wait until you can get a hold of some Gemi and then you can wrap it around and then you can Tovel. Whereas Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says, you don't have Gemi, no problem. Tevila Bizmana Mitzvah. Go ahead and Tovel right now anyway. The fact that you, rather than waiting until you can get a hold of Gemi. So we see that Rabbi Yossi holds that Tevila Bizmana is not a mitzvah. Or rather just the opposite. Rabbi Yossi holds Tevila Bizmana is a mitzvah. Therefore, don't wait for Gemi. We just said that according to Rabbi Yossi, it comes out Tevila Bizmana is not a mitzvah. So in the first braisa, Rabbi Yossi had said he can go ahead and Tovel, but that was talking about where he didn't daven Ne'ilah yet. The second braisa where Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says after Mincha he can't Tovel anymore would be where he already daven Ne'ilah, and therefore there's no more tefillah of Yom Kippur awaiting him, and as far as Tevila Bizmana, he holds it's not a mitzvah. What we just said, based on the discussion about the Gemi, that he holds it is a mitzvah. The answer is Hafid Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. That braisa that implies that Tevila Bizmana is not a mitzvah, and therefore that after Mincha the Baal Keri can't Tovel, is not regular Rabbi Yossi, which would be Rabbi Yossi Reb Chalafta, but rather Rabbi Yossi Reb Yehuda. The Tanya, as we learn in another braisa, Rabbi Yossi Reb Yehuda Omer, Dayel Tevila Shetahei Ba'achroina. You have a case in Masechta Nida of a woman who miscarried and is not sure when she miscarried. Furthermore, also then she has several weeks in a row where she's bleeding every day, and then she has several more weeks, ten more weeks after that, where she's alternating a week on, a week off of bleeding. And you have a machlokas over there. How many times does she need to Tovel? Now you have the various considerations over there. How long does she need for having been a Yeledes, and it might have been a boy, and it might have been a girl, and then how long does she need for Nida, and how long does she need for Zava? So you end up over there, but Shammai holds that during all that period, she has to Tovel a total of 95 times. This hill will hold 35, and then Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, Dayel Tevila Shetei Bachrona, it's enough to Tovel one time at the end. In other words, Beth Shammai and Beth Hillel hold Tevila Bizmana Mitzvah, so they hold every time, whenever it comes, a day that might potentially be the end of her 40 days after a boy, or the end of the 80 days after the girl, or the end of the 7 days of Nidah, or the end of the 7 Nikim of Ziva, whatever, then she needs to Tovel then. And some of those Tevilas take place by day, and some of them by night, because a Zava Tovel by day, and a Nidah and a Yoledes Tovel by night. So according to Beth Shammai, they hold 95. Beth Hillel, for reasons that the Gemara explains over there, reduces it down to 35. But they're still holding Tevila Bizmana Mitzvah. They just hold that there's certain Tevilas that we don't need to for that purpose. And then Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says, never mind, 95 or 35. All she needs to, anyway, during all that time, she's not going to be Tahor for sure, because it's always a suffix whether she's still a Nidah or a Zava or a Yeledes or what have you. Therefore, it's enough that she totals one time at the end, and that's enough. So we see that he holds Tevila Bizmana is not a mitzvah. So therefore, so the braisa earlier when he said Rabbi Yossi Omer and Amin Cholamayla and Yochel Litvo would be not Rabbi Yossi Reb Chalafta but Rabbi Yossi Reb Yehuda. Now the problem is with all of that. Then it comes out if we understand the braisas that way that not necessarily is there anybody who is saying that you daven Ne'ilah by night. It seems from everything that we said that it comes out that you daven Ne'ilah during the day, and therefore we're saying the Machloikas is now after he daven Ne'ilah, can he tovels as a Baal Keri because the Tevilah Bizmana Mitzvah, or can he not? So where do we have a support in any of this for Rav? So among the various answers is because. Even though on the face of it, the braisas contradict Rav, but one rule is, when an Amora has a way of explaining a braisa that's not going to contradict him, he's entitled to explain the braisa that way, even if the Stamma de Gemara came out with a different explanation of it. So even though we're explaining that the Rabbi Yossi in the second braisa is Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Rav is not obligated to accept that, so he can understand that, in fact, you have some opinion in these braises that implies that you're allowed to daven Ne'ilah by night, and therefore that supports his opinion that you can daven Ne'ilah by night and be Yotza Meir with it. Okay. Again, we said the halacha is not like him, though. The halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan and like the Braisa that we brought at the bottom of Pezayin and Mabez, that you do have to daven Ma'ariv separately. And the halacha is like Rabbi Chanan and Gamliel, by the way, that you have to daven full Ma'ariv, not with having name. Okay. Since we're talking about Keri, the Gemara says, Tanan Abanan, Haroya Keri B'yem of Kippurim, Yodiv Tovel, he can go and Tovel, like we said before, Ula Erev Yishavshit. In the evening, he should rub it off because of chatzitza. So the Gemara says, well, what do you mean, la'erev? What do you mean in the evening after? What do you mean after Yom Kippur, after you already tovel? My to have a habit. What's done is done. What good is rubbing off and getting rid of the chatzitza going to do at that point? The answer is, ela'ema miba erev yishapshet. Rather, what you should say is, what the Braisa needs to say is, that from the evening before, he should be mishapshet. Meaning, Rashi explains, it means that before Yom Kippur begins, every person should be careful to bathe and rub their body with hot water. Because that way, if he should become a Baal Keri tomorrow on Yom Kippur, then this way there won't be any chatzitza on his skin, and he'll be able to go in tovel. Because after all, Yom Kippur itself, he can't wash the rest of his body before toveling. So therefore, he should make sure to wash himself before Yom Kippur, in order that if he has to tovel tomorrow as a Baal Keri, that he'll be able to. Now, the Maisa, we have, in any case, though, there is the Indian of toveling on Erev Yom Kippur, and there's a few reasons given for it. One of it is having to do with Shuvah. So therefore, we have that you tovel three times on Erev, that you tovel three times on Erev Yom Kippur. It's brought about Reb Levick, that Rebbe's father, that one time he was in a situation, I think during the years when he was in exile or whatever, where he couldn't tovel three times at different times during the day, or I think maybe it was when he was still in Yekatuna Slav, but the Russians had closed down the mikveh and he had to go to the river or whatever. So what he did was he tovelled the one time, came out, dried himself off, got dressed, then undressed again and went in a second time, and the same thing a third time, and that way he was yotze the three tefillos, even though he couldn't do them at different times during the day like we usually do. Anyway, according to Rashi, then, the yeshafshif over here refers to taking a bath before Yom Kippur in order to make sure that on Yom Kippur itself there won't be any chatzitzis on it in case he needs to toil. Rabbeinu Hananel rather learns differently. Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rif learn rather that what it means is, suppose that he became a Baal Keri during the night of Yom Kippur, then what he should do is the next morning it's dried off on his skin. Therefore, when he needs to tovel, but he can't wash it off like he usually would the rest of the year, therefore he needs to rub it in order to get rid of it the dried zera on his skin so that he's going to be able to tovel. So, kosava mitzvah l'shapshif. So that means this Tana holds it's a mitzvah to bathe in order to wipe it off. So according to Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rif, those words don't belong in the Gemara, which is why they're in parenthesis, because according to them, we're not talking about, we're saying, of course you need to remove it, it's chatzitza. Whereas according to Rashi's explanation, the point is, you don't technically have to do that before Yom Kippur, but it is a mitzvah to, in case he becomes a Baal Keri and needs to tovel on Yom Kippur. Tony Tana Kamedi Rav Nachman. A Tana taught the following in front of Rav Nachman. Haroya Keri, Yom Kippurim, if a person has an experience of Keri on Yom Kippur, and Rashi stresses it means Shaloi B'Meskaven, not that he meant to, Abinoisav Mechulin Loi, then his Averis are forgiven. The Gemara says, V'Altani Abinoisav Sdurin. We have a Braisa that says his Averis are arranged, and the Pashtus arranged means like they're there, right there in front of Hashem, and they're going to be dealt, and they're going to be punished. The answer is no. My students, limachol, actually what it means is they're arranged in order to forgive them. In the sense that the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah that Mavi Rishon, Hashem takes the Averis and puts them in order, and then is Mokel the first one, and then the second one, and so forth. So therefore, when his Averis are arranged, it means that Hashem is preparing to be Mokel them on it, so the two Braises are saying the same thing. Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, we learn in a Braise of the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, Haroya Kerib Yom Kippurim, Yidag Kol Hashana Kola. Such a person should worry throughout the entire year. That it might mean, so in the first Braise, we said, Abinoisim Mechulin, because the Simin Tov, because as the Gemara is going to bring soon a Pasuk, Yira Zera Yarech Yomim, actually the Gemara doesn't bring it, Rashi and Tosfos bring a Pasuk, Yira Zera Yarech Yomim, literally it means that he'll have children and he'll live long, but the Lashon Yira Zera is a hint for a person who saw Keri, and the result of it is Yarech Yomim, that he's going to live long. But so now we're saying that he should worry the entire year, because on the other hand, maybe what it means is Hashem did not accept his tainess, and therefore, so what did Hashem do? Hashem put him in a situation where he ends up being enjoying one of the things that would be also on Yom Kippur. So therefore, he should worry about that and do tshuva the entire year. The im also loishana, if he lives out the entire year, then he can be sure that he's a ben olam haba. He must have had tremendous chosim that protected him, and that makes him a ben, shows that he's a ben olam haba. Amud of Nachman Yitzchak Teda. You can see that, why it can end up being such a great thing. Shekol Olam Kulei Roy, Bahu Tzaveh. You see, the entire world is hungry without Tashmish, on Yom Kippur, and he has been satisfied with it. So that shows, so he didn't have that inui. So therefore, but nevertheless, he lasted throughout the whole year. That must mean he's a great tzaddik. He also Reb Dimi Omer, when Reb Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, the source of that will be Mapish Chaye Sagi Umasti. He will increase. He'll have long life, and he'll have many children. Again, Yira Zera Yarif Yomim. Rashi and Tosfos both bring the pasuk that he sees Zera, and he will live long. Now, there is a sicha in Chelik Yud Zayin, a hadron for Masechta Yuma, where the Rebbe shtells the Chames. I mean, first of all things, why does Masechta Yuma, and especially Perek Yom Kippurim, which is all about the dinim and the kapara and whatever of Yom Kippur, why does it end on such a note? And b'chlal, what's the logic that because of such a negative thing happened, therefore the result of it, that he's a ben olam haba, he has all these brachas? Okay, Rashi is saying because he has obviously a lot of ma'asim tovim. But that means those are kind of a side thing. It so happens. He has ma'asim tovim, therefore, but in other words, the seeing carry itself is in and of itself a negative thing. So why are we ending with that? And why does one lead to the other? The gist of the explanation is, and the Rebbe explains, we talked about the other day, tshuva me'ava and tshuva me'yira. We also talked about, we had in the Mishnah, when Rabbi Akiva had said, Ashrichim Yisrael, l'fnei miyat mitar and mimitar eschem. So the Rebbe brings from the Rogachover that the two expressions refer to two different types of tara. You have, there's a tara that a person has going to the mikveh. That doesn't require kavana. Even if a person falls into the mikveh, they become tara. On the other hand, there's the tara that comes from sprinkling para adrama water. That requires kavana. So therefore, the Rogachover explains, those reflect the two types of tshuva, tshuva me'ava and tshuva me'yira. Tshuva me'yira being represented by toveling in a mikveh, and tshuva me'ava represented by sprinkling a part of adrama water. The vort is, the Rebbe goes on to explain, now we said that tshuva me'ava is donis nasim like a zochias, so the question is why, how do averus turn into mitzvahs? So we said, the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, because that itself propels him to come closer to Hashem. So the Rebbe goes into an arichus over there explaining the vort is, in other words, you have machshirei mitzvah, sometimes you have prerequisites that have to be done before mitzvah, and sometimes even those prerequisites themselves are considered a mitzvah. A classic example being chinuch of children. It's only a prerequisite that after bar and bat mitzvah they should be able to do the mitzvah, but chinuch of children itself is a mitzvah. Therefore, in the same vein over here, when he has something negative and he uses that to do tshuva me'ava, that machshir itself becomes machshirei mitzvah and becomes a mitzvah in itself. That is the mechanism by which zonus nasim like zochis. So now we're saying, we're ending off the masechta then on this note. This person had this, on the face of it, terribly negative experience of roya kerevi yom kippurim when he's not supposed to. So therefore, yidag kol hashana kula, that should bring him to a higher level of tshuva me'ava throughout the year. And then the result of that is zonus nasim like zochis, that he now goes to this higher level and is zoicha to these brachas. He's a ben olam haba, mafish chaye sagi umaski, because now he took that and used that as a springboard for tshuva me'ava, and therefore transformed that whole thing, minakotze alakotze, into not something negative, but rather a positive thing that brings him brachas. Hadron alach yom kippurim, aslikul amasech diyuma.
Why the Mishnah doesn't state that clearly? That it's because he's going to do tshuva, rather than just saying he's Valkyrie.
We're understanding that the word yidag, what does it mean he should worry? Is he just supposed to sit there and worry and have wrinkles on his forehead? No, yidag means the kind of worry, the positive things that worry should bring, namely tshuva.
What's the lesson of the Mishnah?
Actually, that yidag is gematria 18, is gematria chai, representing that he needs to bring a new chayus into his avodah.
What's the Lashon of the Mishnah, the exact Lashon?
The Mishnah didn't say. The Braisa said, Yidag kol hashana kula. Literally means he should worry throughout the entire year. What we're saying, worrying doesn't just mean worrying as in being concerned. It means doing tshuva. It means doing tshuva, and not just tshuva, but tshuva ilah, b'chlal. You have in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe, in the Geresa Tshuva, the Alter Rebbe brings from Zohar, that Motzi Zera Levatola, the Zohar says tshuva is not enough, and the Alter Rebbe explains, it means you need tshuva ilah, tshuva tatara is not enough. So therefore, it fits over here that he does tshuva ilah, and that brings him to these great brachas.
Yes, but why does it have to be in the Braisa? Why he doesn't state it clearly in the Mishnah, Yidag?
Why should it say in the Mishnah? There's lots of things that it doesn't say in a Mishnah, and it says in a Braisa. Not everything has to be said in the Mishnah. The Mishnah had ended with the Afakadosh Baruch Hu Mutaris Yisrael, and now we're saying, and now the Braisa is giving us a specific example where a person becomes Torah.
Shkayach.